Good day. Welcome to Noontime Chapel. Sorry for my late start today. But this morning we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28 in our Noontime Chapel through the Proverbs. It's been an exciting time to look at the Proverbs. You've had some various teachers go through, and I'm privileged to be able to speak this morning. But before we start, let's pray together. And then we'll take a look at God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you this day. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we pray that you would direct us, that you would cause us to grow in wisdom, especially in relation to our speech today and in the days ahead. Lord, we ask that you would be glorified, that your Spirit would be at work, ministering to us, showing us the things that we know not, and causing us even to be more and more like the person of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. In last week's chapel, Pastor Rob drew a contrast between the righteous and the wicked from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 16. And I'm just going to read that text as a segue into today's topic and passage. Proverbs 29, verse 16 says, "When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will look upon their downfall." So one of the ways that I would submit to you today that transgression increases in a society is through speech. When words are many, Proverbs 20 verse 9, or sorry, 10 verse 19 says, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense." So this morning I'd like for us to build on this contrast between righteous and the wicked in terms of wise and foolish speech. And the text that I'm going to use is sort of a launch pad, because we're going to be kind of synthesizing a lot of what the Proverbs has to say about speech. The launch pad proverb is going to be Proverbs 15, verse 28. So Proverbs 15, verse 28 reads this: "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And so this is an important topic, not only as it relates to the book of Proverbs as sort of a motif or theme, but as it relates to the Christian life. We are told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is, in fact, hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. We read that in Proverbs 8, verse 13, kind of wisdom personified. And so as we kind of attempt to synthesize this collection of wisdom on righteous speech, I'd just like to confess that this is a very sobering reality for teachers, right? So in James chapter 3, we're told that not many should be teachers, right? Because those who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so myself, and I could probably speak on behalf of all the elders, to be a teacher and to use words to teach, to even have a lot to say at sometimes, is a really sobering reality. And so even teachers are to put a guard over their mouth, to ponder how to answer. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of wicked just pours out evil things. So what does this mean? If if we want to view this as our launch pad verse, what does it mean that the righteous ponder how to answer? Well, I think the basic meaning of this proverb is the righteous think before they speak, while the mouths of the wicked are marked by an unrestrained flow of evil. In other words, the wicked have no way of damming up their words. If they're likened to a tributary or a flow of water, they actually have no way of damming up their words. There's no restraints on their words. There's no boundaries within their speech. It just spews out all sorts of unrestrained evil. And because the righteous ponder how to answer in their hearts, when they speak, the assumption is that they're going to be able to promote the cause of righteousness when they speak, rather than the cause of wickedness. And this is seen in a similar proverb. Proverb 10, verse 11, says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." So we have this imagery of a righteous person pondering how to answer, but the mouth of wicked pouring out all sorts of evil things. And then you have that proverb, I would even set up and compare with Proverbs 10:11, which says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of wicked conceals violence." So what does this mean, this idea of the righteous having mouths that are like a fountain of life? Well, there is, in fact, life. It is life-giving when they speak. And I think there's a helpful way of understanding this provided by Piper. John Piper says, "A life-giving mouth is like a fountain, not a factory. The image is not of labor and sweat and weariness that somehow produces the product of life. The image is restful and clean and cool and refreshing. Life bubbles up and overflows from somewhere deep in the earth with scarcely any effort. This is what it's meant by the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." And again, Piper says, "There is a great difference between the freedom of a fountain and the frenzy of a factory. God means to make our mouths pure and life-giving, not by commanding us to marshal more human resources and digging up raw materials and organizing labor and management like a factory. Like, get your psychological corporate act together. Instead, God means to make our mouths pure and life-giving by becoming our resources and our raw materials and our labor and management himself," end quote. So this is some really clarifying insight. From the mouth of righteous is a fountain of life. So Proverbs that contrast the righteous and wicked in terms of speech further is Proverbs 10, verse 20 to 21. "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense." So here we have in Proverbs 10, verse 20 and 21, this language of the righteous and their tongue, their speech, is actually of great value, of high value, of silver. Right? In the electrical trade, we don't use silver, even though it conducts electricity too. We use copper. But think about silver is actually a costly metal. Right? It's got value to it. And so too is the tongue of the righteous. And not only that, the lips of the righteous, they feed many. So it's actually life-giving. When the righteous speak, it actually is associated with life. But fools, by contrast, die for lack of sense. They don't listen to instruction. And again, in Proverbs 10, verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. So get that in, instead of this language being life-giving, it's actually cut off. The perverse tongue will be cut off. And verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse or profane, in other words. And so we have all this language of this life-giving speech that is akin with the wise, and this perverse, evil talk that's synonymous with the wicked. And so as we think about all this mention of speech and wise speech, and when you read the Proverbs, have you ever wondered, well, is silence the better approach? If there's so much transgression that comes with the accumulation of words, well, maybe it's prudent to just be silent, to not talk. And there is indeed value in that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 says, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And so after we read certain proverbs warning of the dangers of our speech, one might contend that maybe we need to take a vow of silence. Maybe that comes to mind for you. Just if life is most righteously lived when in this state of pondering, contemplation, thinking about how one is to answer, right? Instead of just pouring out all sorts of evil things, well, maybe the best solution is just to take that kind of contemplative life of even a monk, in a sense. There could be a compelling argument for that. And there are, in fact, proverbs that speak of the importance of being silent. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Has your mouth ever got you in trouble? Yeah, mine has. More than once. So consider the wisdom here. Even in Proverbs 17, verse 28, which says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. In other words, it's better to keep your mouth shut and have people think you're an idiot than to open up your mouth and remove all doubt. So this what's interesting about wisdom literature is that it doesn't allow us to sort of pick our favorite proverb depending on your personality type. So when you read the Proverbs, it doesn't allow you just to say, well, I'm kind of the quiet, contemplative type. I'm a little bit more tentative in my speech, and so I'm going to pull those Proverbs that remind me of the importance of keeping my mouth shut, staying silent, right? But when we think about the application of wisdom in the Proverbs, it doesn't allow us just to sort of pick and choose our favorite proverb, because at times, the Proverbs will tell us to do one thing and then tell us to do the total opposite, so it seems. If you're wondering an example, I'll give Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. And the verse right after, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So in the application of wisdom, what we call discernment, we actually have to know the right course in the right circumstance. So it's interesting when we think about these proverbs that it really does call for discernment, especially in relation to our speech. I'd like to talk now briefly about the character of righteous speech. Well, if there is such a thing as righteous speech, well, what is it like? And there's a multitude of proverbs that speak to what righteous speech is like and what it is not like. And I'm just going to provide a few examples. The first is, righteous speech is controlled. It's controlled speech. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. My wife has this proverb in the mirror above our sink where we brush our teeth. So when we're brushing our teeth, we can read these proverbs. And I do well to remember that. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Those harsh words are like kicking up a bee's nest, right? But that soft answer, it is controlled, right? It's circumspect. It's calculated. It's measured. It's speech that has pondered, even for a brief moment, the implications of what it's saying before it is said. Righteous speech does not flatter. Proverbs 26 verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Moreover, righteous speech does not slander or gossip. This is one of my favorite proverbs. Proverbs 26 verse 20 says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. You take fuel out of the fire triangle, you essentially extinguish the fire. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, that is, gossiper, quarreling ceases. Interesting. And Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Repeating a matter. Have you ever repeated a matter that's maybe true about someone, but kind of harped on it? You just kind of, like a dog on a bone, you just carry on harping and harping on this, maybe a quality or a lack of a certain characteristic in someone. Well, it's gossip and slanderous, right? When we harp on a matter related to someone, talking in a repeated way, we actually have to guard our mouths, because Proverbs 13:3 says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So that's kind of a short list of characteristics of righteous speech. And lastly here, I'd like for us to think about the motivation of righteous talk. What is it that ought to motivate us to speak in a righteous way versus a wicked and foolish way? And so there are two particular proverbs that really call to mind, I think, a strong motivation for why we should use righteous speech. And the first is Proverbs 16, verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. And the second is Proverbs 22:11. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. So it's interesting, when you read through Proverbs, you almost get the sense that it's written from a kingly perspective, don't you? And righteous lips are pleasing to kings. So if this is true of human kings, like Solomon, how much more could it be said of the descendant of King David, the Lord Jesus himself? It is important, friends, that we get our motivation right. We are not pursuing righteous talk primarily because it makes our business go better, our friendships more fulfilling, Are marriages more blissful? We are to pursue righteous speech because it pleases our King when we talk that way. And it dishonors our King when we speak wickedly, foolishly, and falsely. See, King Jesus is pleased when his servants trust his rule enough to use righteous speech. And repeat that. King Jesus is pleased when his servants trust his rule enough to use righteous speech. We know that King David, Solomon's kingdom, came to an end. But we know that Jesus, his kingdom will have no end. It's an unshakable kingdom. And he who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the King as his friend. What more satisfying life can you imagine than having the King as your friend? You see, this King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a friend of sinners. A friend of sinners like me, who often blow it in terms of my speech. I have regrets about things that I've said. I've also have regrets about things I've not said. Both sides. But the important thing for us to remember is that in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. That's from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And Ephesians 1, verse 7 also reminds us that the implications of the King in our lives are that it should shape our talk life, how we use our words. And Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." We've spoken from Proverbs as if the Proverbs are basically instruction on how to live skillfully in light of the gospel. And so to live skillfully in light of the gospel calls for speech that is pleasing to the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to take some time to pray together. I'd encourage you, if you're listening online, to pray even as you look through the Proverbs and search the Scriptures and grow in terms of how your speech can be consistent with the righteous speech condoned in the Scriptures. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word provides us with instruction on how to live lives that are pleasing to you, the King. We pray, Lord, that there would be no corrupt talk come out of our mouths, but only such as is good for building up. We pray, Lord, that you would remind us that a soft answer turns away wrath. We pray, Lord, that you would keep our mouths from slander and gossip. Help us, Lord, to use our words to build others up and not to bring them down. Lord, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is a redeemer, is the redeemer, and can transform corrupt talkers into talkers that even allow the word of Christ to dwell in them richly. So we pray that you would cause your word to dwell in us richly, so that when we open our mouths, our words would be acceptable in your sight, and even like a fountain of life to those who hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.